Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, and it's on page 977, if you'd like to follow. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Our second reading is chapter 25, verses 31 to 46. It's on page 995 in the Bibles. You've got 4 seconds to find that page. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another. As a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in? Or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or needing clothes, or sick, or in prison, and did not help you? He will reply, truly, I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's just pray for Karen as she comes to speak. Father, we bless you for those readings, for your word to us today. And we thank you for the way that you've spoken to Karen in her preparation. We ask that you'd bless her as she speaks, bless us and guide us to hear your true voice to us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, thank you so much for the privilege of being here today. So today I was going to talk about Night Stop Essex, which is a charity that I work for, and I will tell you a little bit about Night Stop Essex, but I think is more important, really, to look at the context of those two chapters, and that's what I hope to do this morning. Can I let you into a secret? Is that I am an Anglican at heart. So even though I go to Kings and Church, I'm on the senior leadership team, I've been going there for around 10 years, really, I truly am an Anglican. I miss what you have. You know, the liturgy, the language, I really miss everything that you have. So it's a delight to be here today. How I became an Anglican, and the Anglican Church introduced me to Christianity, and that's where Jesus found me. But if I could tell you a little bit about my story, it was so lovely to hear today, to hear about grandparents and the family reunion yesterday. If you're a grandparent or a parent, don't underestimate how much influence you have with your children or with young people. Because when I was 5 years old, my grandmother said, put me to bed and said, I'm going to teach you how to pray. And I said, how do you do it, Nan? And so she wrapped my fingers together and I was kneeling beside the bed, and I still do that now. And she said, you go through a list and you say, God bless your mum, God bless your dad, God bless your brothers and your sister. So for years and years and years, I did that. And because I prayed, I thought that made me a Christian. And so when I was 18 years, I went to Leeds. I went to university. I remember that first week, and I knelt by the bed as I normally did, and I began to pray. And I was so frustrated because I knew that there was more, and I didn't know where the more was coming from. So I remember tears streaming down my face, and I said, God, where are you? Because at that time, God was up there somewhere, and I had no connection with him other than sending my prayers up somewhere into space. I didn't know where he was. Some friends took me to an Anglican church and said, hey, come to church with us. And I remember as I sat on that pew, on that bench, listening to the vicar talking, something very unusual happened. An encounter with God happened. And it felt like love. If you imagine someone pouring love into the top of your head, that love went all through my body, into my feet, into my hands. Jesus called that, he talked about being born again. And I never understood it, but it was like I suddenly became a different person. I didn't become a perfect person. All of my problems didn't go away. But suddenly that God who was somewhere up in the sky somewhere had come to live inside of me. And I found I had a relationship with Jesus. And many of us are searching for more, searching for more. We know that there's so much more. And Jesus really gives us a solution in Matthew 11:28. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. And when we're looking for more, we can go to Jesus and he gives us the more. I really regretted looking at that passage about the sheep and the goats. It's a tough passage, isn't it? If you've ever seen a sheep and a goat together, they look remarkably similar. How do you separate sheep from goats? If you're anything like me, I thought, all of you, I think when I get to heaven, all of you will be sheep. I'm going to be the goat. God's going to put me to one side because I'm not doing enough. I'm not living my life right because there are things I feel I should do and I haven't done them yet. There are things that I've done that I probably shouldn't have. But we are all saved by Jesus. Jesus is a great level playing field. Because what Jesus did on the cross for us was freed us from guilt, freed us from our own sin. Sin is our selfishness, I believe. Sin is those selfish acts that we do to ourselves, to others, and towards God that separate us and cause hurt and pain. So when Jesus looks at the sheep and the goats, what he identifies is a condition of the heart. Because Jesus says, the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For this is the key. Listen to this. This is amazing. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. And I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. I was on a bus and you came and sat next to me. I needed tea after the church service and you made me tea and offered me a biscuit. It's those tiny things we do that demonstrate love that make us sheep. We have a sheep attitude. It's in our hearts to want to love people. It's in our hearts to want to make you feel like you are the most important, most special person in the whole world. That's what makes us sheep. And the goats, if you don't mind me saying, have a bit of a stinky attitude, okay? Now, when I got the job for Night Stop works with the 16 to 25-year-old age group. It tries to prevent young people from 16 to 25-year-olds becoming homeless by offering them a home, host homes across Colchester. So anyone with a spare room could take a young person in just for one night to keep them from the street. When I heard about that, I definitely had the goat attitude. I was like, you're joking, aren't you? You let a young person into my house that I've never met before who would otherwise be homeless. Hey, why are these young people facing homelessness in the first place? Are they difficult to live with? Do they have really big problems? There is no way on earth I'm opening my home to a young person who needs help. And my goat attitude was saying, in effect, Jesus, I don't have a place for you. And I had to offer the hardness of my heart to Jesus, say, Jesus, forgive me, I don't care. And Jesus, give me the more. Give me your love for people that I don't know. Give me your love for the stranger. And so it's only Jesus has the power to transform us into a loving people, people who love each other, people who will sit next to people hurting on a bus and be available to them. What you did was a beautiful thing. And that love is enough to save somebody's life. So you'll be pleased to know I do have a spare room. You'll be pleased to know I'm now going through the process of opening that spare room to somebody. And what we do as sheep is offer to Jesus our attitude, our heart, our life, our mind. I was coming here today, driving here, and I felt Jesus saying that many of you here are looking for more. That's not about changing churches. That's not about changing religion. It's not about stopping what you're doing. It's about asking Jesus, Jesus, what do you want me to do in my life? What is your will for me? How can I look like love to the people that I come across? Do you know, God had to really change my heart. I said to him one day, a few years ago, God, I haven't got time to evangelize. I'm too busy. I remember that day I was painting a room and I had to go shopping in Tesco's. So I told him, God, I haven't got time to go into town. I was living in Braintree because I'm too busy. Jesus is so wonderful, isn't he? He listens to all of our reasons. And he doesn't condemn us in the way that we condemn each other or condemn ourselves. So I went to Tesco, and as I was walking around Tesco, Jesus said to me, I really felt that quiet inner thought. I didn't hear an audible voice, but I heard in my mind, this is the mission field. Because everywhere where you are, evangelism is. Everywhere where you are, love is. If you look at evangelism looking like love, you look like love on a bus. You look like love when you're at the garden party with friends and family who don't know Jesus. Every time you look like love, you look exactly like Jesus. So I'm just going to finish with Matthew 11, where Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Can I encourage you, if you know there's more to life, to go to Jesus? Jesus reveals himself when we ask him to. too. I used to think that in the book of life, Revelation talks about a book of life when we cross over into eternity, when our physical body dies, and yet our spirit or soul, as some people say, continue. And I used to think in that book of life, everything bad was written, and you'd be my audience, and I'm going to be really embarrassed because everything I didn't do that I should have done would be written in that book. And I just had that sense one day of Jesus quietly saying, it was actually Father quietly showing me, actually in that book will be all the beautiful things you've done. Every time you made a cup of tea for somebody, every time you decided to smile, to encourage somebody, because we all have different gifts and we all have different opportunities. So can I really encourage you, if you're hungry for more, if you feel like God's up there, then ask Jesus to come and live inside of you. Ask him to fill you with his love. Ask you to fill you with the right decisions and the right choices, and every day to choose to look like love. Thanks, everyone.